Let's get into the study. We've been talking about some objections that people raise about dispensationalism. I guess you could call it that. I don't. The dispensations are in the Bible. I mean, the word is there. God uses the word to describe his dispensing of grace and his dispensing of salvation. People have objections, and so we're trying to go through these objections and show what the Bible actually says. Often people are they're just misunderstanding, or they haven't heard the verses that clarify it. So this particular, we started yesterday, and we'll finish tomorrow, probably, hopefully. But this particular misunderstanding or error is that there's only one gospel in the whole Bible. And we, in showing that they're different, we know that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. And people think, well, that means that ever since Adam, nobody has had to do anything except believe that Christ died for their sins, or whatever the belief is they want to make it seem to be. There's no scripture that says that. They just come to that understanding, I guess, through preaching whatever has been preached or whatever, or I don't know. But let's look at some scripture that shows definitely that there were works needed along with the faith in the gospel that Peter preached. And now, remember, Romans identifies Israel's problem, why they fell in Acts 7, why they were cast away in Acts 28, as being because they didn't have the faith that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't have the faith in the gospel of God, that Jesus was the Son of God risen from the dead. They thought he was a fraud, a fake. So let's look at what Peter says and regarding the gospel that he preached, which we understand from the scriptures is a different gospel. And here's why. Look, you do need works. And now these verses go through quite a lot. There are other things here besides the fact that works are needed. So, and there's a lot of good information in here that is historical. I mean, it tells the facts about Jesus' death and about some of the things related to it that we can benefit from. We're not saying that, you know, it's written to us. It's not written for our application or for our situation. It was written to Israel, for them, and for them only. And that's the difference. Today, Paul's gospel is for everybody, including Israel, including us. It's for everybody. But, and just briefly, that gospel for today, that Paul's gospel is the gospel that he was the first one saved by it. He was not able to be saved into Israel. He had blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Pardon me. Just a moment, please. But Paul was saved by this gospel, the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that Christ died for our sins, not for his own sins. He had no sin. He died for our sins. That paid the penalty. The wages of sin is death. And Christ died for our sins. And he rose for our justification, to make us right with God. But that's today's gospel. Back then, Before Paul, was Israel's gospel, and Peter preached it. Here's what Peter preached. This was written probably after Paul's salvation, but not regarding Paul's salvation. He doesn't mention Paul until his second epistle. This will be his first epistle, 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 17, and we'll read quite a few verses. It would help if someone with a poster would post the King James verses as we read them. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, And he's saying, if you call on the Father, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In fear. Paul's salvation. The salvation, good question. I don't want to be misleading. The salvation that Jesus Christ from heaven, after he had ascended back to heaven, he revealed it to Paul. And that was the first revelation of it. It was not a reminder. It was a revelation. No one had it before him. Let me just interject a verse here that shows that, so you're not just thinking, well, that guy says this. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. I certify you, brethren, this is Paul speaking, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, nor was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that story is told in Acts 9 as you read his salvation story on the road to Damascus. So I should have said the salvation that we learn about from Paul. Paul calls it my gospel three times. It's not Paul that's the Savior, that's for sure. I didn't mean to make it sound that way. But here he says, if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Well, look at the difference between what Paul said. Let me figure where that is now, if I can remember. 5:1. Romans 5:1. What a difference. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And Peter recommends that people that follow his gospel pass the time of their sojourning here in fear. Why? Well, they were told they had to endure to the end to be saved. What if they don't endure to the end? This is verse 18, 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, in Judaism he's talking about, but you were not redeemed by those things, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's the redeeming, the redemption that Christ bought at Calvary, paid the penalty. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Remember, Peter in Acts 2:16 said, These are those days, the days that Joel prophesied about when he was prophesying about the 70th week of Daniel, the Israel's trouble, Jacob's trouble, excuse me. And he says, who by him do believe in God. Now, it depends, you know, largely, you have to know what he's saying here. Is he saying believe there is a God? Believe in God? Are you believing that God will heal all your illnesses and make you to fly? Or, you know, you need to believe what God says. And God told them different things than he told us. He told us, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that we just went through, the gospel that saves us is to believe that Christ, to receive it to yourself. Not just believe it's a fact that Christ died for our sins, but to receive it to your own sins, that he died for those sins that you will commit and that you have committed. Every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit is paid for by Christ on the cross. Believe it. Believe on him to life everlasting. Well, that's what we believe, but they weren't told to believe that. You cannot find that. You can find information about the death of Christ in Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, Psalm 16, various places you can find information prophesied about the death of Christ. You can find in Isaiah 53 that he died for Israel's sins, for the sins of many. And he's talking to Israel, Isaiah was. But you can't find that he died for our sins, all people's sins, Gentile sins. And that by believe, this is the important thing, by believing it, receiving it to yourself, you are saved. Not waiting to be saved if you endure to the end, if you give all to your alms to the, you know, lay it at the apostles' feet, if you, all your males are circumcised, if you keep the law, all these ifs. And conditions that Israel, they were works that had to accompany their faith. Well, they did the works, but they didn't have the faith. That was their trouble. Romans 10:8 tells us that was their trouble. And if you read, it's about maybe 10 or 12 verses to read, but if you start in Romans 9, verse 30, and read through Romans 10:8, you'll see what Israel's problem was, why they did not receive the kingdom, why they rejected their Messiah, and then it's explained what they should have believed in Romans 10, 9 and 10. So he goes on, we're going through 1 Peter 1 here to see that there is more than one gospel in the Bible. We are saved by faith, by grace through faith, without works, not of works. But they did have works, as Peter says. In Peter's gospel, he says, who do believe in God, again, it depends, you have to believe what he promised you. And they had to believe what God promised them. God promised them a kingdom. Exodus 19, verses 5 through 8. A kingdom coming from heaven in which they would be a kingdom of priests. You know, the whole nation priests to the rest of the world, as you see in Zechariah 8:23. But going on with verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Well, better in God than in Satan. Better in God than in Baal, that they kept going after, and Molech, and Rephim, and Ishtar, and the rest of them. Whatever God they could find, it seemed like, under every green tree on every high hill. Verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying. They had to obey the truth. They had to purify their souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So it did, their salvation did require their cooperation, their participation, their behavior and the way they treated others, etc. Works, in other words. Going on, let's look in chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 21, and go on down from there. For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. Who did he suffer? He's an Israelite, and one of Israel's 12 apostles, speaking to Israel. His target audience, the ones that he was talking to, was Israel, as he said in Galatians 2:9. It's not to us. But he says, leaving us, Israelites, an example that you should follow his steps. You should follow in Christ's steps. You should, who did no sin. That's part of their salvation. Who, you know, just like in the days of the prophets, Daniel, etc. Who was there that did not sin? All have sinned. That was an insufficient, obviously insufficient salvation. It had to be there as an example to all people that they needed a savior, that the law can't save them. They couldn't keep. They had to keep the law from conception to death without a failure, and nobody could do it. Who did no sin, talking about Christ, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Does that sound like you, like me? Is that something that we have to do, or that we even could do? That's what Israel was required to do. but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now, I admit that in that first year of the tribulation, before they rejected their Messiah, it was the acceptable year of the Lord. It became the acceptable year of the Lord. But during that first year, they had the unction. 1 John 2:20 and 2:27 says that they had the unction. The Holy Spirit living within them. They didn't need a teacher. They knew it in their mind. The law was written in their hearts for that year. So, going on, when he... we read that part. But he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self... And many people turn to this verse as saying, see, Peter preached the same gospel that we have. Who his own self... bear our sins, that'd be Israel's sins, that's Peter talking to Israel, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, Israel, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. You were healed. Well, where does it say how to access that? It doesn't say that if you believe, you know, if you receive it to yourself. It's very clear in Paul's gospel. If you look in Romans 4:24, let me just post that. But, well, you have to go back to 19. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, in verse 3. And it describes that belief. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, his wife's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's his belief. He didn't stagger. He didn't doubt. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Well, what is the strength? What is that? What does it mean to be strong in faith? Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him. His faith was imputed to him for righteousness. That's the righteousness of God, not some puny once in a while righteousness like ours. It's the righteousness of God. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him for righteousness, but for us also. And now here it turns to us. It's applied to us. To whom it shall be imputed, and here's the if in our gospel, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses, that's the same as Christ died for our sins, he was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. So, that's what we have to believe. We, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, if we believe. Not if we believe and do. Believe and work. Believe and behave. Believe and toe the line, you know. but that's the promise. Our justification. And that our offenses are paid for. They're died for already. Well, you don't find anything like that in 1 Peter 2:24. Let me see if I can put that on the screen. I'm reading it, but nobody posted it. Everybody's got other things they need to do, I'm sure. This is going into homes, and we don't... I tried to post it, and it didn't post. Let me just make sure there's nothing in there that'll block it from posting. There it is, right there. And... right there. I don't know where those came from. Okay, 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Well, that means he bore the sins of Israel, you know, but he did bear the sins so that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Well, it doesn't give any conditions, any stipulation what to do or believe to be, to have that apply to you for Israel. Unless everybody in the world is saved now because Christ died for the sins. I don't believe in universal salvation. I don't believe anywhere in the Bible it actually teaches that. The thing is, what was Israel to believe? Well, it was, you know, what they were to believe, who their Messiah was, the identity of Jesus, the name of Jesus. They were to believe in the name of Jesus, that this man of Galilee, this man born of the Virgin Mary, born of Mary as far as they knew, they probably didn't know she was a virgin at the time, born of Joseph, of Mary, and they thought of Joseph, that he really was the one spoken of in the prophecies, in the Old Testament prophecies, that would be cut off, but not for himself in Daniel 9, that Isaiah 53 describes in detail, that he was the Son of God, the Messiah, sent to save Israel and to rule in Israel, rule over the world. They didn't believe it. Okay, well, let's go on. As far as the one gospel, the same gospel, over and over, it doesn't match. The two gospels, the things that Peter preaches and Christ preached in Israel, it does not match what Christ later revealed to Paul to preach to us. Just like in Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2:24, that's on the screen there, it tells that Christ died for Israel's sins, according to the scriptures, but it omits any good news that by Christ's death, they are forgiven. It omits any good news about how to access any benefits from Christ's death. And we can go through, in fact, let's go through we'll do five verses here out of Isaiah 53, and you can see that's true. It's not the same gospel. There's no way to be saved by just believing these facts of history. Isaiah 53, and we'll look at verse 5 and 6, and then start at verse 10 and through the end. but he was wounded for our, this is Isaiah speaking for Israel, he was wounded for our, Israel's, transgressions. Now, we know later that he died for everybody's sins. They're all, everybody's sins are paid for, but that wasn't told until due time. It wasn't revealed until it was revealed to Paul after Israel had fallen, had walked away from their part of the covenant, that they would be a blessing to all nations. And, well, the covenant, Genesis 12:3, I will bless them that bless thee. You're not blessed anymore by blessing Israel. They walked away from the covenant. They did not believe the one that God sent them to fulfill that covenant. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our, Israel's, peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we, Israel, are healed. All we, again Israel, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And you can see that through their history, idol after idol, false god after false god. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us, Israelite, of us all the Israelites. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge he shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Probably the clearest in the Bible information what Israel should have believed is what Paul says that they failed to believe. Therefore, this verse 12 to end the Isaiah 53. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered among the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. Sounds like 1 Peter 2:24, and made intercession for the transgressors. Again, as we look in 1 Peter in chapter 3, we see the scripture, it tells us of the sacrificial death of Christ, but nothing about Christ being raised for our justification, or even for Israel's, or how to access the benefits that Christ earned. Peter does not preach good news of salvation by believing on the grace of God through the faith of Christ. Let's look at some of those verses. 1 Peter 3, 18, 19, and 20. For Christ also hath suffered, Christ also hath once suffered for sins. That means he doesn't have to do it again the next time you sin. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us, Israel, to God. It's Peter talking to Israel again, or still. Might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. By, again, if that's the salvation there, then everybody is saved. There's no stipulation that those that believe there. It says that he might bring us to God. And then the physical facts of his death, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. So it just doesn't give any... There's no gospel there. There's no promise of salvation if you do this or if you believe this or whatever. Verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. Now, people add to that verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. It does not say by which also he then went and preached unto. He had preached to them long before he walked the earth. It's talking about being quickened by the Spirit, by which also, by the Spirit, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited, and here it tells when it was that he went, in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing. With wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The ones that stayed dry in the boat were the ones that were saved, not the ones that got immersed in the water. So, Peter, talking about Peter's side, Israel's side here. Peter never preached that Israel or anyone could be saved at that time. At the very time they believed the gospel that he preached about a kingdom coming and believe in the Messiah, who he is, that he was, believe the name of God, that Jesus is the Son of God. Peter never preached, though, that they could be saved at the time they believed the gospel that he preached. In each scripture we looked at, works were required as well as faith. And we never hear Peter preaching that believers in his gospel will go to heaven. They were promised the land, starting in Genesis 12:2, I believe it is, and Genesis 12:7, Genesis 13 verse 15. It goes on. There's a thread throughout Scripture that they're promised the land, and they will get the land eventually. When the Lord causes them to mourn for him, when he pours out a spirit of grace and supplication on them, and they turn their hearts to the Lord. Separate from that all, let's look at the gospel that Paul preached and see if it actually is the same as Peter's gospel that Peter preached, or if it's actually different from Peter's gospel. We heard Peter preaching about receiving the kingdom from heaven. Paul never preached that we believers in his gospel ever reign with Christ back here on earth in the land of Israel, the land as it's called in the Bible. The Bible teaches the land as being for Israel, not for the body of Christ. Look what the in opposition or in diametrically different, put it that way, is Rome and Paul's talking about being justified with God. He says in Romans 4:5, but welcome to the room. Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth that on him that justifieth the ungodly, believe that he justifies the ungodly, believeth on him, his faith is counted for righteousness. So, and I was distracted a minute there, but notice in the first two thoughts of that verse, but to him that, what it does is it says that your faith is not a work. Believing is not working for your salvation. Believing is letting go and stopping your work and resting in what Christ has worked, what he has done. So it says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So Paul preached justification and righteousness by faith alone, without any of our works. Paul preached that when the hearer of his gospel of salvation received Christ's death to be for his sins, that person's sins, not Christ's sins, Christ had no sin. When the hearer of the gospel receives Christ's death to be for their own sins, that person is immediately saved, immediately baptized by the Holy Spirit into the one body of Christ, and immediately sealed with that Holy Spirit. That happens instantly, the moment he trusts Christ to have died for his sins and raised again for his justification. Look at some of these verses that say it. Look at Ephesians 1:13, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. But in Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted. You trusted. You put your trust in him to save you. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, that if you trust in him, he will save you. In whom after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Look at these four salvation verses here. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So he had already preached it to them in Acts 18 in Corinth, and he's declaring it to them again. His gospel, the gospel that I preached unto you. We saw in Galatians 1:11-12, it was revealed to him by Christ. It wasn't, men didn't know it. Men didn't tell him it. He wasn't being reminded by Christ of what the gospel was. It was revealed to him. He says, the gospel which I preached, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. They took it as their own salvation from their own sins and the wrath of God toward, they were condemned under condemnation that every human is born into. And they received it, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. And they're not saved by Peter's gospel. He says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. That's Paul, preaching Paul's gospel. Unless you have believed in vain. It's vain to believe in Peter's gospel to save you. It doesn't work anymore. By the time he wrote this, it had stopped working. God was only saving by Israel's gospel. So, let's go on with the verse by which you are saved. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So he received this gospel. He received this salvation on the road to Damascus. When you can read about it in Acts 9 there. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day. There's that raised again for our justification. So what happened at that point? 1 Corinthians 12, verses 13 and 27. For by one Spirit are we all, we believers, are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The Lord does it. He makes us drink in that. It's not something, if you're good enough, you get to. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Well, how fast does the Spirit put us in the body of Christ after we believe the gospel and are the Lord's? We belong to the Lord. Romans 8, verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, if the Lord has paid for your sins and saved you, and you belong to him, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That means everybody that belongs to him has the Spirit of Christ. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, Romans 8:10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Christ is our righteousness. God has made Christ to be our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Romans 3:21 and 22. And look at this series of verses about whether you're waiting to be saved if you endure to the end, like Peter says so often, for Israel, or if you are saved the moment you believe. Look at Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. Ephesians 2, 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Are saved. That's present tense. That's right now. You're saved as soon as you believe. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's right now as a believer. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. Not by grace will you be saved, but by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, before we get to the end of these objections and how to handle these objections biblically, showing what's wrong with each of these objections to right division, let's look at one of the things that these people that object, what they say. In Galatians 1, we see Paul asking God to curse any man who preaches a gospel that is different from his. In Galatians 1, we see Paul asking God to curse any man who preaches a gospel that is different from his. And then in chapter 2, he shakes hands and blesses men who are preaching a gospel different from his. Well, I don't know what you call it. It's some kind of a debate device. But he starts off with an untrue premise. Paul didn't ask God to curse any man who preaches a gospel that is different from his. You could almost use the term lie if someone is plotting to make you misunderstand God's word like that. That would have to be a lie from a liar. The person is, he's intentionally telling an untruth or hiding the truth, misquoting what God said to make it sound like God is backing that person up in their own opinions. In Galatians 1, we'll see that Paul is not asking God anything, certainly not asking God to curse anyone. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul does not denounce anyone for preaching a gospel that is different from his. And I'll show you why. I'm not, it's obvious once you see what the fallacy is here. if I say that in the following scripture verses, Paul lets anyone who preaches be accursed, would I be telling the truth? Here are the verses. Is it true to say that Paul wants anybody that preaches the gospel to be accursed or a different gospel? Look at these two verses, Galatians 1:8 and 1:9. 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, now it doesn't stop there. They're assuming it stops there, but it doesn't. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So it's not just whether there are other gospels being preached somewhere. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, in other words from Paul, let him be accursed. So if someone comes and preaches, no, you're not supposed to believe in salvation by grace through faith without works. You need to work. You need to be baptized. You need to repent and clean up your act. Well, you know, that person is accursed. You curse them from you. Keep away from those people. There's going to be people like that, and they'll come to you too. They'll say, what if you die with sin on you? Well, the only way you can die with sin on you is to not have believed the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died for your sins. Those sins are already, they've gone through the judgment, they've gone through the wrath of God already on the cross. So I hope you can see that Paul puts more conditions on the preacher before he can be rightly be cursed. He has to preach that different gospel to those people that in Galatia that Paul had preached it to. And Peter didn't. Peter went and he started eating with the Gentiles, remember? And starting in verse 10, Galatians 2:10, and on through there, there's that incident where he was acting more like a Gentile than the Gentiles, apparently. But people that object to this, they put on more conditions on the preacher, but God inspired Paul to put two conditions on the preacher, unto you. It has to be preached unto you. The ones that Paul had preached to, it has to be preached by somebody else. If any man preach any other gospel than that you have received, these people, let him be accursed. Do you see what's left out there? That's not the verse as it is in Scripture, is it? If any man preach any other gospel than that you have received, let him be accursed. Here's the direct quote from the second half of Galatians 1:9. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So I'm harping on this because we forget and because it's so important. That's the whole thing. He left that out to make it sound like there's only one gospel. They have to be the same then. But he's not saying that people can't preach, that Peter couldn't have preached another gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, which he was sent to preach. So I hope you can see that it had to be intentional for people like that to carefully remove the words unto you from the middle of the sentence, not the end, not the beginning. It's right there in the middle, in order to change the meaning of what God said and claim that God was saying what their opinion is. And they've changed the Word of God, corrupted the Word of God. It's happened all through history, starting with Satan in the Garden of Eden. Well, that's what I call lying. The difference is important, though, because Paul told those Galatians to accurse from them any preacher who preached unto them a different gospel than the one that Paul had preached. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. So there's only one gospel that saves today, and it's Paul's. You know, if someone else came and preached unto them a different gospel, they're saying that there's some other gospel which would save them, and there isn't. Now, that wouldn't send them to hell, but it would leave them condemned. It would not save them. Paul's gospel saves them. Preaching some other gospel doesn't save them. Leaves them condemned. And there is a preacher going around saying that you're saying that if they preach some other gospel, you're sending them to hell. No, what they've already they're already condemned to hell. What they need is a savior to save them out of that condemnation. And they don't get it by believing some other gospel. They only get that salvation by believing Paul's gospel, that Christ died for our sins. Believe he died for your sins, and that he rose to justify you with God. So Peter's different gospel is never said to have to save anyone immediately, as Paul's gospel does. Peter would only have been accursed by those Galatians if he had preached his gospel of the kingdom to those Galatians, but he never did. Yes, in Galatians 2, Paul rightly accepts the concessions of James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, because none of them had ever preached their gospel of the kingdom to any of Paul's Galatian believers. So they weren't to be accursed. He was not insane. He was not shaking hands with those that should have been accursed, as this objection tries to claim. So and this objector, dissenter, he says, if this is true, Paul was insane. Think about it. If what those dispensationalists say is true, you have Paul in chapter 2 shaking hands and blessing men who just asked God to curse in chapter 1. They had, you know, preached, he's claiming they had preached a different gospel to those Galatians. Well, they're leaving out the words unto you. All through several, three or four times in those two verses, Galatians 1 verse 8 and Galatians 1 verse 9. They're making it seem like if anybody ever preaches any other gospel somewhere else or wherever, they're accursed. That's not what Paul said. He's just saying to those that he preached to, the only way you can be saved is by Paul's gospel, not by Peter's gospel, not by any other gospel somebody else may come and preach to you, unto you, unto you. So this dissenter is not reading and studying honestly and accurately. Paul didn't ask God to curse preachers of any other gospel. Paul asked those Galatians to accurse from them the preacher who preached unto them the kingdom gospel, or any gospel, any other gospel. So, and we're just about done here, but the dissenter's whole controversy is made up in order to suit his own purposes. He has exposed his goal as being to tear down the working out of the will of God, whose will it is to have all men be saved, and additionally, for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. So this objector plans to confuse people about what is the gospel that saves men today, anybody today, if they believe it. Okay. I'm done and ready for questions. If there's a question, I can either let you know that I don't know the answer, or I can try and connect it with a verse of Scripture and see what God says in context with that passage.